Blog Talk Radio.
Man, my heart is heavy. I feel a lot of pain. It's been a while now since y'all done heard from Flame. It's been a while now. But God has been rocking your boy. But at the same time, I see Satan's plot to destroy. And I know I ain't the only one. But God so loved the world that he gave his only son. His only one. And Satan tried to knock him too. But when they knocked the nails in his hands, Colossians 2 and 15. But yet I still see a common theme that's plaguing adults and it's plaguing the teen. When Jesus died, he did more than just give us some health. So help me understand why we still living for self. We live for our family, for our money and cars. We live for our happiness because our pleasure is Lord. But ain't we seen yet? That just doesn't work. No. Living for self can only lead to dozens of hurt.
It's true.
Please hear my heart. Like a stethoscope. We're taking steps toward death, but looking for hope. Because we were captured by sin. We were seized. Now we need to be captured again. That's why we need to pick them scriptures up. Start praying and fasting and ask the Father, forgive us up. Forgive us for laziness. Forgive us, Lord, for our pride.
Crenshaw, the host of As a Kid Radio Show. Happy to be in the studio with you all today. And guess what? On a whole nother topic. I'm super excited. And you want to know why? Because today is my birthday. So guess what? I get to spend my birthday talking to some people that I love, sharing information that I love to share, and what could be better. So I just thank God for being able to be alive for another year. And being able to share with my friends and my family. So why don't we go ahead and get down to business? Well, today's topic is centered around an experience that I had throughout the duration of this week that just passed. And this situation took me through a couple of days. Now, I'm going to share a little bit of a story, like I always do. And the testimony is actually the message for the day. So you really want to chime in and try to hear as much of it as you possibly can to truly get an understanding of it. But the title for today's topic is, how hard are you willing to fight for someone else to get blessed? You know, have you ever seen someone that is in the kingdom that you love, that when you look at them, you know that they're saved? But it seems like they always go through a lot of hardships. Sure you have. We all have. But so here's the question. Do you believe for their blessings as hard as they do? Are you willing to fight for their blessings as hard as they are? Or sometimes when things just seem to continuously go wrong for an individual, do you do what many of us have learned in the church, and that is assume that there's some reason they're not getting blessed, and that reason would have to be because they're out of alignment with the will of God? I mean, I don't know about you all. I mean, think about it. You know, it's easy to say that the reason why something isn't happening for someone is because they've done something that's so out of order. Now, and I'm going to be honest with you, because of the way that I have been blessed by God, I have a hard time not understanding why other people aren't as equally blessed. It throws me off. But because I'm so not perfect at all, my expectations are extremely high. You know, so it's hard for me to sit here and say, oh, well, such and such, you know, she probably just didn't get blessed because she put this on herself. And, you know, you reap what you sow. And God said if you don't obey him, just like he'll curse your coming and your going. And, but, you know, just all of these different sayings and thought processes. You know, and my challenge for everyone, especially going into 2015. Can't we have a mindset that's a little bit more bent out of shape on other saints getting blessed? And if you ain't the one that's getting blessed like I'm talking about getting blessed, then I hope somebody has been out of shape about you getting blessed. I mean, because, look, the church, we got to have more results. You know, we just have to. There are too many people walking around here looking like they blessed, and they ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. So why is it that people that are in the kingdom are not? Well, I say that it's because we don't care. Let me just put this in here first before I share this woman's testimony. You all have heard me talk about my mentor who now lives in the same city with me. He came one day over to the house and visited with me and my husband, and we were just talking, and he was telling us about some of these moments that he had with witnessing the people, and he just got so excited. He was like, man, this is why I do it, because I just want to see their kingdom progress. And when he said that, it shot something through me. And I felt so convicted because a lot of times when it comes to operating in the prophetic, I will say out in the open that I have been anointed to operate prophetically on many occasions. A lot of times I still deal with fear. I deal with the fear of saying what God has told me to say because what if I'm wrong? What if I didn't hear it right? Blah, 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 blah. And this man just said, look, at the end of the day, you know, I've gotten it right more than I've gotten it wrong, and I'd rather take the chance on blessing somebody than not. So when he said these words, I got convicted again, and immediately I thought about this sister in Christ that I, you know, was just telling you about, and I was like, you know what, maybe one of the reasons why she hasn't gotten one of those powerful breakthrough lessons yet is because I haven't spoken it into existence for her. See, our mouths are our weapons of warfare, and what we say has power. That's what we're taught in the church, you know, and there are oodles of scripture that, I mean, our God created this earth by speaking it into existence. So I felt extremely convicted, and she just so happened to call me, like, the day after, and I went ahead and made the confession to her. I said, you know what, there are some things that you've been waiting on, and I've been wanting to see God bless you. And I feel convicted because I haven't operated in prophetic authority and spoken that blessing over your life. And she was just like, wow. And, you know, we talked about it. I talked to her about my fears and how I had to get past it. Well, that conversation came and went. And so then finally a couple weeks passed and we get to this week. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of background information on this woman since none of you know who she is. But the bottom line is that this sister's beautiful. But since the day that I've known her, she has been struggling to get blessed. She's a single parent, and she has six children, and she's on Section 8. Now, I'm throwing those little tidbits out there because, see, hearing information like that, you know, if you haven't walked this earth long enough, those kind of things right there would already put you in, really? What blessing does she deserve? She got six kids. How many baby daddies she got? She ain't learned to figure out how to hold down a job yet, that she still got to be on Section 8. You know, she's steady in need of the system. I mean, come on now, people. Even if you don't say those particular things, there's something about her life automatically just being a single woman with six kids that would already make you say, okay, well, whatever the issue she's dealing with, especially if it pertains to financial, you feel like she's already set herself up for failure. That's what we do in the church. We analyze and we judge people. Well, the bottom line is the place where she was living at was in shambles. It was security because she always had somewhere to live. However, the place was just raggedy. And the landlord, because he didn't keep the place up, not because she tore it up. We're talking about things that he's supposed to do. He probably won't be able to even get another tenant in there. You know, her walking away is definitely going to mess him up. He's going to have to spend oodles of money in order to get this place back together. But anyway, I've been wanting her to move. I have. Now, I'm no longer in St. Louis with her anymore, but she's finally had taken a nasty plunge and decided to try to move. And she thought she was going to get something through one of the housing programs, and that didn't go through. And she got a little discouraged, and I told her, we had, this is a, like 2 months ago, we talked about them like you can't stop looking, you can't stop believing. You know, you got to go find your place. So we come to this next mountain. She had found another place. We hadn't talked in a while, so I didn't know. Well, she was all excited, and, you know, the landlord had said that he was going to give it to her and blah, 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 blah. Then all of a sudden, she saw that the house was listed. And she was afraid that the man was going to reject her application. I wanted her to have this place. This place is everything that her heart desired. We know the scriptures say that he'll give us what? He'll give us the desires of our heart. So my thing is I sat there, and I pondered in my spirit, not very long at all. God, could this be that time when I get to speak life into someone else's situation? And you know what? I did. And I sat there and I talked to her and I said, you know what? I don't know what's going on. I don't know why it's listed, but I still believe that that's your house. Move forward. And not to take all day because we don't do the show as long as we used to. Bottom line is she went to the housing authority to confirm that everything was in order. They said that he was missing an inspection, that he wanted one amount for rent, and she was going to have to pay the difference of like $150. Section 8 told her that he refused to take the negotiation amount, and she was in tears on the phone crying. She was like, what am I going to do? My kids, they were excited, and they were believing for this, and I can't go back, and I can't disappoint them. And my 13-year-old is always asking me, why do we pray to God anyway? I mean, she's distraught. I mean, you think about it. You got your kids living in a pigsty. You constantly telling them how good God is. Could you really just feel her, just take that, internalize that, feel her pain and how she must have felt, thinking that she would have to go back? But I'm like, no, you absolutely do not go in the house. You do not tell those kids that. And she's like, but I don't have a poker face, August, and I can't lie to my kids. I don't go out, and I'm always at home. My kids know where I'm at, and when I come in, they're going to know something's wrong. I said, you can't tell them something's wrong. You tell them the truth. You got something else that you got to work out before you guys can move. And she's sitting there, and she's like, you know, not wanting to lie. So, I mean, baby, we on the phone. I'm talking. I'm like, no, you know what? Go back to the housing authority. Ask for this person. Ask for this thing. Call this. Keep me on the phone so I can listen and hear what they're saying so I can give you a rebuttal. Go see this man. Go talk to him. And, you know, you don't know what's going on the other side. And we don't care because God has all power. He has all authority. You're not going to tell your kids that. I mean, bottom line is, we were on the phone for like 2 hours, and she's riding from this place, talking to this person, that person, and we even praying and doing everything that we can that I can for her being on the phone. If I would have been in St. Louis, I would have been like, your nerves are bad. Don't even drive. I would have literally been in a car, and I would have been going with this woman to resolve her issue. And unfortunately, it went into the next day. And so I'm like, get your game face on. You got to get up. You got to get up early in the morning. You got to be there when the doors open. And when you go, you know, you got to, the people were, she did. She got there, and they were like, well, the man has to submit something in writing. He has to fax it over to us. And I'm like, okay, well, go tell the man to do it. And I'm already coaching her. He's probably going to tell you that he will do it. No, tell him that you need it done now, because she only has a small amount of time before her voucher is going to expire. Not only do you tell them you need it done now, you ask them, can you have copies of those papers? You know, just pray. God will give you the wisdom where you can make the demands without being confrontational. But at the same time, I'm also reminding her of the scriptures and how we're soldiers and we're more than conquerors. And, you know, we can't always just sit back. You have to keep moving forward. The bottom line is I was not going to rest until I knew this woman was going to get blessed. And the bottom line is when everything got said and done, all of the paperwork is in order. They are scheduled already to do the last inspection. Everything is fine. She already has her game plan. She already has people set up with her for her to be able to move. And it was like just this big old woo-sigh. People, that's just one example. But that's what we've got to start doing for each other. When we see somebody else falling and they don't want to, they don't want to do anything because she was ready to give up and tell her kids, I tried, but it didn't work. there's a battle going on out here. Now, I've talked for quite a while now, especially with the transition of moving from St. Louis down to Houston and how you have to go and get your blessing. But guess what? We got to fight with each other to get these blessings. I've got to believe God just as much and then some for your blessing as for you, especially if I see that you're failing or you're falling. That's why we war with one another. We're one body in Christ, and what happens to one person happens to all of us. I mean, think about it from this perspective. Go look up the story of David and Jonathan. Now, David and Jonathan were like brothers. Now, Saul was the king, Jonathan's father, and he was basically jealous of David and wanted to kill him. But Jonathan stood up to his father, the king, to say, what you want to kill David for? David hasn't done anything to you. And, you know, Saul gave him his word that he wouldn't touch him. Now, of course, Saul was a liar, and he didn't keep his word. But Jonathan would be a lookout guy for David. He knew that David was supposed to be blessed. But everything about David's journey after getting anointed, other than beating, after he beat Goliath, Saul was like, who is this dude? They singing his name in the streets instead of mine. He was so full of envy and bitterness towards David that he was constantly trying to thwart every move that he made, and he literally wanted to kill this guy. But Jonathan in his mind said, no, this dude is blessed. God has him covered. I need to help him get to where he needs to be. That's how we need to be for each other. If a man can stand up to his father, the king, who could have done whatever he wanted to do with him, then why can't we stand up to a tiny little enemy called Satan? Because a lot of times that's one of the reasons why we don't do anything, because we have this all where, you know, the enemy busy, and, you know, he'd be trying to block blessings, and you see what he did and how he tried Job and all. But yeah, he could, you know what, that is true. The devil did try Job. Sometimes he does have his little spiritual little demons out there trying to do whatever it is that they're doing. But the last time I checked, in the New Testament, Jesus came, he died on the cross, and he rose again so that we could have power and authority over an enemy that's already defeated. He said, you're going to have troubles in the world, but don't be overcome because I've already overcome the world. So sometimes we just really need to think about what we allow to form our thoughts and opinions about how we deal with opposition, how we look at people. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from God. If it's a good gift and it's a perfect gift, it's from God. If it's anything else, it ain't from him. And we have the ability and the authority to act as God, to speak as God. His spirit is in us so that we can make sure that these same blessings are going out for other people. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there aren't some people who don't constantly dig themselves into a hole. I'm not saying that there aren't people that are out of order. But I'm just saying that sometimes use godly wisdom so that you sincerely know the difference. I'm not talking about the people who just are gluttons for punishment. They're prone to disobedience and to just being wicked or evil. I'm talking about those people where you look at them and you sit there and say, wow, brother such and such or sister so-and-so, I know they show enough faith. Yeah, I know we don't know what people do behind closed doors, but, I mean, come on now. Yeah, we can tell people's spirit. We know how they are, how they act, how they think, how they believe. We see their struggles. We've seen opportunities where people have had a chance to operate with integrity or without of it. We've seen people. We know those that are or are not transparent. I'm not talking about perfect. I'm just talking about pursuing as perfectly as they can towards the walk. So keep yourself surrounded by saints that, number one, believe God as much as you believe God for the blessings in your life and then some. And if you know someone who needs that kind of support, then be that thing. Because, see, the word of God says that your word should be seasoned with grace. So even if you think someone doesn't deserve it, how about we just take a different turn and we say, you know what? I want to be like Jesus. I want a person to experience the mercy and the favor of God in spite of. Because I don't know about you, His mercy and his grace in spite of my actions is what has me speaking so adamantly on his behalf and wanting people to know so firmly who he is. Never get sidetracked and never get too high and mighty in your walk that you forget that you too were once that person that you potentially could be over judging. Somebody was once looking at you like, why she still got it going on? Why she still getting blessed? Why her car ain't repo? Why this didn't happen? Why that didn't happen? Let's go into January 2015, people, with a mindset for blessings. Because there's so much drama and so much havoc going on in this world. If we really knew the person's story, if we really understood where some people were coming from, then maybe we would be a little less harsh to judge. So, I mean, that's pretty much it. You know, my thing is you can do plenty of research in the Bible on support. There's another scripture when the Israelites were fighting and Moses had to stand up holding the staff. And while he was holding the staff, the Israelites would win. But whenever his arms would drop, they would begin to lose. And at one point, Aaron, and I think it was Caleb or Joshua, I really don't remember the names of who it were, but the bottom line, two men came and they helped hold Moses' arms up. And they held his arms up until the Israelites completed winning their battles. So let's look up scriptures that show the importance of support, because the support that you give could still end up being a blessing for you, because every battle that the Israelites conquered, that was still a blessing for Moses and whoever else was holding their arms. There, you know, you don't do something to get something, but people, there's something for you to get out of it too. So that would be a good story to reread, and looking over the story of David and Jonathan. Easy, yeah, I know how I am. I don't always get scriptures because I think it encourages you to study on your own. Google it. Just say David and Jonathan and Google it. Scripture, David and Jonathan. It'll pull it up. Scripture, hold Moses' arms up. It'll something simple. It'll make it pop up for you. You know, so I don't know if anybody has a question or comment in reference to what I'm talking about. I don't know if you agree or disagree, but I hope that it's hit your heart in some kind of way. Always, you know, push the button one if there's anything that you want to say in response to what I've said. Once again, I put this petition out here while I'm waiting to see if anyone makes a comment. I am praying for God to give me guidance on how to move forward with the radio show. Because my life has changed a lot. The timing of events are not necessarily being as easy for me to get up and do this show at 9 o'clock in the morning. I may have to change the day and time. If there is a time that people would like to vote for or a suggestion, Facebook me, email me, August Crenshaw, AugustCrenshaw. I'm Crenshaw at Yahoo, August Crenshaw at Yahoo for the email, and August Crenshaw on Facebook, the one with the picture. So I don't see anybody having any comments. I hope I put something on your mind to move forward in being a little bit more merciful going into the new year. I want to thank everybody that has tuned in with me. It has been a pleasure to kick off my birthday talking about God and what he has for us. So you all have a very blessed day. You all have a blessed year. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pray us out. Sometimes I kind of just say a little blessing. I'm going to go ahead and pray us out. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just want to thank you, Lord. It has been an entire year that I have been allowed to do this radio show. I thank you, Lord, for everyone who has listened, for everyone who's been very transparent with me and giving me feedback and made questions or comments. Lord, I just ask you to continue to work with all of us to make us better Christians, to help us to understand how to operate even further in your love, to be able to extend the hand of grace and mercy, Lord, that we so often will have to ask of you. I thank you, Lord, for just being divine and supreme. I thank you for the way you're moving in families. I thank you specifically for African-American families and the way that you're positioning more women to be more sensitive to allow the men to truly be the head of the household. And I thank you, Lord, for the men wanting to step up to the plate and actually do that. I thank you for the reviving of the African-American family to what it was so long ago, very pure and very solid and very together. I thank you, Lord, for just a strong movement in Christianity, for people to begin to see even the more the true realities of who you are and what you have to give. I thank you for more people realizing that opportunities like what we spoke of today are part of ministry, Lord, and that you don't need a platform, you don't need an organization, you just need to be willing to do the work of God. So may people get out of the box of religion, God, and get into the idea of your Spirit, which is, and in your Spirit, Lord, there is freedom. I thank you for the works of the Spirit, for people operating in the gifts that God has given them, especially myself, Lord, stepping away from the spirit of fear and being willing to lay on hands for healing, willing to prophesy, to pray in tongues, if that's what they're, you know, led to do, God. I just thank you for a new movement and a revolution. I thank you for a new year in my life. I thank you for a new year, period. Going forward. So thank you all. Praise you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I will speak to you all next week. Bye-bye.